Father of Storms. Written by Dean Jones. Produced by Be Here. Episode 4.
Be Here. Bringing books to life. Vision without sight.
Chapter 9. The Lesson. Seth looked out across the field to where his father was tending the pigs. The sun was just rising over the horizon, filling the sky with the amber hues of early morning light. His mother's melodic humming drifted from the house, dragging his attention towards the breakfast he could smell floating from the doorway. The scent of rain hung on the late summer winds. The air was beginning to grow cool, signalling the arrival of autumn. Seth could feel the change in the world around him as the land began to settle itself in preparation for the changing season. This was another element to Spey, which Seth was beginning to enjoy more, since May had begun to teach him the ways to view the world with Frigg's eyes. In his opinion, the goddess of the earth certainly knew how to look at things. He watched the swirling patterns the wind made through the air as it snaked and danced through the leaves on the old oak tree, sending a cascade of foliage down from the treetops to the ground below. What was impressive was the colours were not from the leaves falling, but from the effect the wind had on the tree itself. The vibrant blues and reds of the energy mixed with yellows and pinks, and all the colours of the world, which mesmerised him each time he observed the magnificent wonder. The old tree had slowly lost its once beautiful crown of greenery over the last couple of winters. As he watched the last remaining sprinkling of leaves spiralling to the ground, Seth knew they would not be replaced in the spring. He felt sad looking at this once glorious tree. But, as May had taught him, that was the way of things. Life moved on. When it was time to end, the earth would recycle it before being born anew, as whatever Frigg's will decided. May had been meeting him here by the same old boulder each day for the last 10 years. At first, he enjoyed their talks, treating it all as a game he played with old Mother May. As each year passed, their discussions began to include specific topics, such as the interactions between the elements or how energy affects all living things on Earth. He now fully appreciated that their talks were actually lessons. His initial playfulness was replaced over time with an avid desire to learn as much as possible. It wasn't long before he spotted May as she crested the brow of the hill. He stepped away from the rock he was resting against, then smiled in welcome as she reached him. It made his heart glad each morning when he saw May, knowing his lessons were soon to begin. He was such an eager student. He always found questions or came up with ideas, each answered with patience. He didn't know how much longer these lessons would continue, as May had told him the day before that she no longer knew how much more she could teach him.
"You have been a delight to teach, Seth,"
she said.
"But fear it won't be long before I have little else to show you, such as your gift at working with Spey. I recall my decision on the night of your birthing,"
she continued.
"I knew as soon as I looked into your eyes that you should be taught the ways of the gods."
"You seem happier than usual this morning, May. You had some good news?"
Seth asked.
"No, Seth. I was remembering how this day may never have come about if your father had his way,"
she said. Seth looked puzzled.
"What do you mean?"
he asked.
"Well, your father was against the idea of you learning to work with Spey at first. He didn't want his firstborn son to be mixed up with women's magic when he was destined to be a great warrior like him."
She deepened her voice, attempting to imitate Garrett.
He will go into battle with the same fearlessness all the men of my family have had. To become a mighty warrior, he needs to be shown how to fight, but more so how to defend himself. Teaching him to play around with plants and animals will not bring fear to those who hear his name. No offence, May,
she said.
Each year, there appear to be more conflicts rising from the borders of Mercia. The king himself had ridden through your hamlet, collecting men on his way to another battle. It seemed there were always more bandits and armies to push back out of our lands in those days. So his argument was justified, and I took no offence.
It had been on such a foray that his father had killed his first man. He often told Seth how he could still hear the cheers of his father when his sword felled the Northumbrian.
I listened carefully to your father's objections,
May continued.
But your mother had no such concerns and was keen to support my request. To be honest, I believe this position had more to do with your mother's love for you than for the respect she had for Spear or the help it provided for the community. I know your mother holds you very close to her heart. I suppose the thought of you going into battle was more of a concern than you being teased due to your becoming a male spear worker.
The old woman sighed with a weight of years. She appeared to look every one of those of late.
Unfortunately, I knew your mother's opinion would begin to alter as the days, weeks and months passed. Your mother would inevitably take notice of the other townsfolk when they spoke of her son. She would grow worried about what others would think, but that was to be expected.
So, how did you convince them, May?
Seth inquired.
Well, the discussions went through the night. By daybreak, your father had succumbed to my own arguments and the desires of his wife. It was agreed that when you turned 5 years old, we would begin to meet, and you would learn the craft of a spear worker. It was also agreed that these meetings would be a secret, as your father was a stubborn mule. He didn't want his son to be tarnished with the shame of Spear, as he put it. He believed you were going to be a man to be feared and respected throughout all Mercia. He didn't feel that learning the ways of Spear would achieve that goal. Only the way of the sword would strike terror into the hearts of men.
May smiled ruefully as she headed down the path towards the woods. Seth chuckled to himself, trying to imagine the night when his father lost an argument with two women. Seth fell in step beside May as she made her way past his house. His mother had made her way to the door to wave him off. May had been right about her. Seth could now see the disappointment in her face as they made their way towards the woods for his next lesson in Spey.
So, young Seth, what have you been doing since we last met up?
May started their conversation like this every day. Seth had learned quickly that May expected him to practice what he was shown when she was not with him.
I've been watching the wind dance with the leaves. I've noticed the effects my desires have on the music it dances to.
He rhymed off in a practiced fashion. May looked approvingly at Seth, giving a satisfied grunt as they rounded the path to the tree line of the woods. There, waiting for them in her usual spot, was Ardith. He gave her a weak smile, as he didn't like the woman. As he strolled towards her, he could see the lines appearing on her face along with the shadows under her eyes. Her once shiny hair had greyed, and it seemed to Seth that Ardith was looking as old as May these days. Yet, he knew May was there for Ardith's birthing, because she had told him the story on many occasions these past years. Ardith gave them her now customary smile before she embraced Seth in a warm, welcoming hug, which always felt forced to him. Today, she seemed more excited than usual.
Are we ready to proceed, May?
Ardith asked as she turned to follow them into the woods.
We are. This will be the day Seth will learn his most valuable lesson. We need to hurry, as there is a chill in the air. Looks like winter's coming early this year.
She glanced up into the sky and gave a knowing nod.
So today is the last chance we have to show him before the woods become too dangerous for one as inexperienced as he.
Seth didn't practice in the winter months. He merely observed. May had told him the dark winter chill brought with it terrors filled with evil intents. These cold weather entities were powerful due to the shortness of the days, giving them time to grow in number as they prowled the night. These creatures could not be defended against unless you understood certain elements of Spey. The skills took many years to master. Seth had only been developing for a short time in comparison. Ardith nodded. Her face took on an expression of serious concentration. Seth, on the other hand, was thrilled by the prospect of learning something, which sounded like it was going to be a great deal of fun. Seth had found that all the lessons May had taught him over the years were fun in one way or another. He felt it was this attitude towards his learning that helped him pick up the skills quickly. The time it took to reach the clearing in the centre of the woods seemed much longer today. The trees themselves seemed to tell them to turn back. Seth had learned to listen to the trees several summers ago. Even though he was yet to perfect the skill, he could still make out the shapes of the words the trees were singing as they wandered past. He looked from May to Ardith to see if they'd heard what the woods were singing. If they had, they weren't paying it too much attention, so Seth continued to walk beside them as he continued to listen, focusing on the sounds of the trees. It had struck Seth early on in his lessons that everything on Earth spoke in one way or another. Most sang. The only things which didn't sing were those too old to be bothered with the formality of it all. Those things spoke in short, direct sentences. Rocks, for instance, had a way to communicate in the fewest possible words. It had taken Seth by surprise when he sat down on the rock, like he had each day since he could climb onto it unaided, when it grumbled at his weight. It was several weeks until he had worked out what it was saying. Eventually, it forced an uncomfortable apology from Seth, quickly followed by a respectful request to use it as a resting place while he awaited May. May had taught Seth that all things are alive in one form or another. It's not the rock itself that lives, because that would be stupid. It's the energy inside it. It was this energy, May had explained, which makes up everything you see around you. This was the essence of Frigg. It was her gift to us, which we had learnt to master. Using it is our way of paying homage. They continued on their way, eventually breaking through the trees into a clearing. The clearing had always taken Seth's breath away each time they entered. The feeling of power contained in the amphitheatre before him was awe-inspiring, as well as slightly intimidating. The women headed for the centre. Seth busied himself, taking in the feeling of the location while listening to the chorus of the trees which circled them.
Seth?
May's shout brought Seth out of his reverie. His attention snapped back down to the ground where he stood open-mouthed.
Come here, child. There's no time to be gawping at the trees today. We need to get on before it's too late.
Seth was slightly confused as he made his way to where they were standing. It had only been less than an hour since they had set off from his house, so it couldn't be much past breakfast. This meant there was plenty of time for gawping as far as he was concerned.
The winter days are short. Night is beginning to fall.
Seth stared at Ardith, for he was sure she had gone mad.
Night falling, Ardith?
Seth asked, sure he was catching her out in a mistake.
Yes, Seth, night. Look around you. The sky is growing dark, and we need to hurry so you can protect yourself from the coming evening.
Seth looked up. His mouth dropped open again. She was right. It was growing dark. How could that be? They had only just set off. His puzzled face caught the attention of May, who placed a hand onto his shoulder, then guided him in between herself and Ardith.
Time is like the wind, Seth. It shifts around us like the breeze you watched move to your desires this very morning as you waited for my arrival.
Seth just stared blankly back at May. Clearly, this concept needed more explanation for Seth to fully grasp what, exactly, had happened whilst they had wandered along the path to where they now stood. May continued to explain herself patiently, as was her way.
You see, Seth, Ardith and I have been asking time to dance to our tune whilst we walked. You may have noticed the journey felt a little longer than usual.
Seth considered this, then nodded, as he had noticed it seemed to drag.
Excellent. That's a good sign. It shows you are ready for this lesson, but you need to give me your fullest attention so you can understand what I will be telling you,
she instructed.
I will continue this discussion about time on another day to explain this dance further, so you may better understand, my child. For now, the lessons you learn today are just as important, so it needs you to fully concentrate on what I will explain and what you can glean for yourself. Do you understand?
May's wise old voice had a soothing effect on Seth's curiosity. He knew she was good for her promise to teach him more about the time dancing she had spoken of. He nodded his agreement. May indicated he should prepare himself, which he duly did. He took deep breaths as he waited for the lesson to begin. May nodded to Ardeth, who slowly lowered herself to the ground next to Seth. May followed suit, leaving Seth stood between the two Spey women. Around them, the trees stood like guards around the grassy glade, protecting all within their web of branches and thick trunks. The occasional patch of white flowers broke up the lush green, and Seth took a moment to take it all in as if it was his first time there. Shadows sprang from the edges, with the occasional hoot of a tawny owl heard as it searched through the woods for its next meal. Above him, the deep blue sky was revealing the glimmer of the stars it had hidden through the daylight hours. Gazing down at the women sitting cross-legged beside him, Seth began to drop to the ground, but Ardeth grabbed his hand to get his attention. She shook her head to let him know he was to remain as he was. He took another deep breath to clear his mind, staring at May for guidance on what he should do next.
Listen to the trees around you. What are they telling you?
She instructed. Seth gave May's question some deep thought, as he had learnt to do, then listened to the chorus of sound around him. It was like a chattering crowd, with no one voice rising above the others, but all saying different things.
I cannot tell, May. They are all saying separate words. I think they seem excited by something.
May gave him a reassuring smile.
Listen again. Is it excitement you hear in their song?
The question gave Seth pause as he considered what he was hearing. He took a deep breath to focus clearly on the matter in hand before beginning to listen to the trees circling them. Leave this place. The light is growing dim. And the night is closing in. The dark is coming soon, and it will take you to your doom. Seth's heart skipped. He took a sharp breath in, but as soon as he did, he felt Ardith's hand on his, bringing him comfort in the knowledge he was not alone. He glanced to where she sat, noticed her smiling up at him with an air of satisfaction.
They sing a warning to me, May.
Seth gazed over to where the old woman was sitting and found her nodding in agreement. This time, it wasn't with her usual rewarding smile, the one she gave him after he had answered one of her questions correctly. This was a serious expression. She held her tongue for a second, letting the chorus pass.
Yes, they are wary of the coming darkness, but we have time still, so pay them no mind. Now focus again on what they are telling you. Then reach out with your mind to the energies that are falling into the circle. Don't be afraid. This requires all your courage. You need to know that there's something there, so you are fully prepared for when it arrives.
She saw the look of concern on Seth's face.
The circle we will create around you will let only those who are benevolent through.
She gave a little wink. Seth felt himself relax. Returning his attention to the trees, he extended his mind to touch the growing energy which surrounded them. At first, nothing happened. He felt only the trees, hearing only their warnings, which were growing in volume. He put these to the back of his mind as he reached out further into the heart of the darkening air. Seth suddenly found he was no longer aware of the ground under his feet. He slowly looked down to where the women were sitting, only to find They were no longer there. His stomach lurched as his eyes searched for any recognisable features. His vision started to blur as his chest heaved up and down with rapid regularity as he swiveled his head like the owl he had heard moments earlier. As he started to lose his concentration, he felt his body falling. As he dropped, he knew he was going to hit the ground. Just as he was about to succumb to his fate, instinct took over. Years of training with his father, coupled with the same amount of time with May, suddenly produced clarity. He knew what to do. He took a breath. It was deep, and his chest swelled with the intake of air. He held it for a second as he let his mind focus. His father had taught him that if you panic, your ability to make decisions is greatly reduced. Therefore, keeping a calm head, even in the face of danger, will ensure you don't die from a stupid mistake. He let the air out, and with it, his body slowed. Finally, he had control of his mind. Checking around, he recognized that he was now in what his teacher referred to as an ethereal state. Knowing this made him feel excited, as he had heard May and Ardith talk many times about their own experiences. He readied himself as he eagerly awaited contact with the spirits of the woodland, as he enjoyed the feeling of being connected to a higher energy. Then he heard a voice from behind him.
Who is this that comes into our realm?
The sound grated inside his mind, sending a chill into his heart.
Is this another who wants to control the night and the darkness we see?
Seth heard the question, but was unsure whether the voice required him to answer. He felt that if it was looking for a response for him, it would be disappointed. It was taking all his focus to remain in the state and stop himself falling back into his physical self.
Old woman, got your tongue, young one?
There was a sniggering around him as he felt himself being pulled into the darkness.
She hasn't taught you very well, has she?
He felt a presence behind him. Seth fought the urge to twist his head toward it, knowing he would struggle to recapture his focus.
We remember when she came to us, young one. She was frightened, just as you are now, but she didn't have your courage. We had to hold her here to stop her escaping back to her body.
The voice circled Seth. He was growing weary of his effort to keep himself in the meditative state he needed to hear the darkness talk.
So, what do we do with you now, Seth?
The chilling voice spat out his name. He felt it touch his mind, but he was growing accustomed to the feeling now as he began to relax. He knew May and Ardith wouldn't put him in danger, so he felt that he could accept that whatever was talking to him couldn't do him any harm. He took in a calming breath. With it, he found his mind opening up, feeling more centered. He opened his eyes to establish what was circling him. Fear gripped him as he saw the two shapes floating before him. Both were cloaked, their heads shaded by their hoods. Only the glint of their eyes could be made out beneath them. They stopped moving, and he could tell they were staring at him.
He looks at us. What a brave boy we have here.
The sound of rasping laughter came from both as they moved closer to Seth.
What of your mother, Seth? What will she think when she hears where you've been tonight? And your father? We're sure he would be horrified to know you are consorting with the likes of us.
The second statement carried with it a hint of menace as they stopped inches from Seth's face. He could still only make out the glint of their eyes.
Maybe once we have had our fill of you, we should pay them a visit to show them we mean no harm.
Seth saw a flash of teeth beneath the hood. He could make out the slightest of smiles.
Yes, we will go visit them and maybe have a little fun. Your mother is a fine woman. We are sure she would like the attention. Maybe we could get her with a child. I know she's been praying for a few summers now.
Seth felt the anger build inside his gut. The warmth of it made its way through his veins to every part of his body. He gritted his teeth as he stared back at the creatures with fierce intensity, letting out a low growl as he focused on them both.
Listen to the boy. He's growling like a wild boar. Oh, he's a precious one. Don't you want a brother or a sister, Seth?
There was a cackle of laughter as the two shapes turned to face each other, then moved apart out of Seth's eyeline. Seth's anger was now fully established. He had the image of his mother being cornered by these two entities at night.
We can taste your anger, child. That's good. We like the flavor.
Another laugh as the hooded figures moved closer.
Who are you?
Seth spoke with a booming voice, which filled the air around them. Seth's eyes widened at the sound. He hadn't expected that. Perhaps things were different here, as May had told him they would be. The creatures stilled. He could feel their curiosity. He decided he was tired of this, so turned his head in the direction where one of the shapes had moved. As his head turned, he came nose to nose with one of the creatures. Now he could smell its rancid breath, but his anger was such he didn't flinch at the sight nor balk at the smell.
I'll ask you one more time, creature, who are you?
The shrouded figure moved back slightly. Seth knew from his training with his father that this was a good sign.
Keep your nerve,
his father had taught.
Even when you feel that you're losing position, son, never let your opponent know that you've conceded the fight before it's been fought. Once you master this, you'll have an edge even in the most worrisome situations. You will know that you've gained the advantage when your opponent takes a small step backwards. Then you'll have him. You can strike in the knowledge his heart and courage have been broken under your will.
But what if he doesn't take a step back, Father? What then?
Garrett had considered this question for less time than it takes for a bee's wing to beat.
It will, Seth, because no man will be able to match your resolve and courage. Even Thunor himself would find you a worthy opponent.
Now, here he was with creatures of darkness. One had felt his will, forcing it to take a step back. Buoyed by this small victory, Seth began to believe in his ability to intimidate whatever these creatures were.
Who is this who stands before us?
The creatures had gathered themselves, although Seth felt his confidence unnerved them.
I'm Seth, son of Garrett. I command you to name yourselves.
The authority in his voice was unmistakable. He felt the creatures' curiosity as they moved side by side to face him.
He commands us.
The creatures moved apart before they began to circle Seth. He struggled to keep his attention on either of them, so he fixed his eyes forward, capturing the movement in his peripheral vision.
This is the young soul she promised us, but he is not as weak as she was.
Seth's ears perked up at this as he again tried to focus on one of the moving figures, without success. Dizzy, he called out.
Who are you talking of?
Again, his voice boomed with boldness, which demanded answers.
What is this?
The voice hissed.
We do not bow to humans. We taste the souls of those who enter our domain. We will enjoy watching you struggle, child.
Seth caught his breath at the revelation. He considered the words they had said, as well as his situation. Surely these creatures were not who May had intended me to see this night, he thought. His mind raced at the possibilities, but he knew he could not allow these things to have their way, so resolved to fight them with everything he had. The creatures must have noticed the change in his attitude as they stopped circling. In a moment, they were again side by side in front of him.
You speak of my mother and father like you have the right to do so. You infer you will feed on my soul, yet I am here and you have not moved towards me.
The figures turned their hooded heads towards each other, then back to Seth.
We accept your challenge, human.
The intent was clear as the creatures advanced towards him. Seth concentrated intensely, focusing only on the things in front of him, searching for something, he didn't know what, to help in this battle. Suddenly, the creatures split up. Seth's eyes widened as he was sure he saw something.
I see you fear a head-on confrontation. Do I strike terror into your black hearts?
He was stalling, but wanted the creatures in front of him so he could observe them. His bluff worked. They appeared again before him. This time, he was certain of what he saw. He concentrated on the wisp of light which he could see trailing the creatures. As he reached out in his mind to discover what they were, he was rewarded with the familiar sound of Frigg's energy, the sound all things created by the gods made. Instinctively, he opened his mind to grab the thin lines which trailed the figures in front of him. Once he had them, a wave of understanding hit him.
I know what you are. You are demons and you are mine to control,
he bellowed. The creature screamed, then rushed towards him. Seth did not flinch as he closed his fists, then tugged the energy strands he held in his hand. The demons stopped in their tracks, confused at what they felt. Panic filled their auras as they began to retreat. Seth was now so focused on the matter in front of him that his subconscious mind was in full control. He felt strong and powerful. Slowly, he began reeling them in towards him.
I have your energy and it is now mine to do with as I will.
His voice told these things that this was a fact they ought to accept. The creatures tried to flee, but Seth held them tight as he continued to bring them towards him. In one final effort, the creatures turned from retreat into attack. Seth watched calmly as the demons bolted towards him, with arms raised from their cloaks. He felt the push from the energy they hurled at him. He gave it no attention. His instinct was in complete control as he focused on the energies. He had never felt this kind of connection with the Spey around him before, yet somehow it felt natural. He simply knew what to do and how to do it. In his mind's eye, he visualized a shield. The image grew quickly as he poured thought into it, as he drew on the air around him. In front of him, a wave of green, shimmering light began to appear. He focused on the advancing demons, knowing he had the opportunity to end this fight here and now. The light became thick with static as he raised his hands, sending the wave crashing down on the advancing entities. They were thrown backwards under the intensity of the attack, landing several yards away. They rolled from their backs, clearly dazed as they strained to recover their wits. Seth could feel them pulling on the energy around them, but he had control of it. Seth could feel their pooled power. Somehow, he knew it was pitiful compared to his.
Enough!
He roared. The ferocity of his words halted the creatures where they stood. Their heads dropped, and he felt the acceptance of their defeat.
I command you again, name yourselves!
Seth glared at them, and defeated, they raised their arms to slowly remove their hoods. Seth was surprised to see two beautiful young girls with hair as black as the night sky, with deep, inky pools for eyes. Their small features were crisp, their smooth skin was flawless to Seth's eyes.
We are Mara.
Both girls bowed their heads to Seth.
Please do not destroy us.
They asked in union. Seth was taken aback by this revelation. He had, of course, heard of the Mara, but considered them a story to keep children in their beds at night. But here he was with two of them, cowering in front of him.
You are the bringers of bad dreams.
Both nodded their heads in acknowledgement.
I do not intend to destroy you, but I will not allow you to threaten my family, do you understand? You will not speak of them in that way again.
The girls looked at each other and then back to Seth.
We are sorry. We will not disrespect you or your family again, Master.
They added the last words before they lowered themselves to the ground at Seth's feet. Seth considered the demons at his feet. He felt pity for the creatures. After all, they were only defending themselves from an intruder to their home.
Master?
He asked. Both nodded.
You have defeated us and spared our lives. We owe you a great debt.
They rose to their feet.
We feel your strength, Master. We know you to be honorable and kind-hearted. We will serve you as long as you walk the earth.
Seth thought for a second.
There could be worse things, I suppose,
he said.
Thank you, Mara. I look forward to a long relationship, but I must return to my friends as they will be concerned. I've been with you for much longer than they expected, and I've much to tell them.
You need to be wary of those who support you, Master. We do not want to speak out of turn, but you should heed our words.
The Mara warned.
And you are wise, Mara. I welcome your advice.
Seth wasn't sure this was an appropriate response, but he was not in the mood to play word games, as he was weary from the battle. The two demons looked at each other, then smiled. Seth had heard all the stories about the Mara being evil creatures of the night, demons who sat on the chests of children, putting evil thoughts into their sleeping minds. But he found that the sight of their smiles filled his heart with joy.
You will always be welcome to our advice and guidance, Master Seth. We will always be here in the edge of night, willing to give you tidings and warnings of times ahead. But we feel you have lingered a little too long in the darkness.
With that, they returned their hoods and bowed low before him, before turning, then heading out of the circle into the night air from where they came. Seth felt himself relax as the adrenaline which coursed through his body slowly ebbed away, letting him begin to come out of his trance. Slowly, he became aware of the clearing around him. He found May and Ardith were still sat at his feet, looking up at him. As he returned to his waking mind, he heard the trees' song had changed. They were no longer warning him to leave, but were welcoming him back. May took a long breath. It seemed to Seth that she probably held her breath for the entire time he was with the Mara. Ardith looked exhausted. Her eyes showed deep black circles around them, as though she hadn't slept in days. Grass swayed as the sunshine filled the clearing. Seth considered the scene, as he was certain it was night when he began his journey.
How long have I been gone?
He asked himself as both women rose to their feet with more than a few groans before they stretched themselves, as though waking from a long dream. May rubbed her knees and arched her back, letting out a long, satisfied sigh.
So, Seth, you have returned to the circle and the trees hail your arrival. So I presume you had a successful journey?
May looked intently into Seth's eyes, giving him a look he knew meant she expected a full, detailed account of what had happened. Seth nodded, suddenly aware of how tired he was. He could feel the urge to yawn building inside his chest. He took a deep breath to let the yawn take hold, allowing himself a lingering stretch of his own as he tossed his head back, staring up into the blue, cloudless morning sky.
What's happened? How long have I been gone?
Seth asked. His curiosity couldn't wait any longer for an explanation. May chuckled to herself, gave Seth a pat on the back and turned to leave the clearing.
Were you not paying attention when I told you of time?
May asked. Seth nodded as he looked to Ardith, who was wearing a rather patronising smile as far as Seth was concerned. She turned away from him when he met her gaze. He caught something else in her face. Disappointment, perhaps. Did she expect him to fail at this lesson?
Be wary of those who support you.
The words of the Mara came into his mind. Surely they don't mean Ardith, though, he thought, as he watched her move away a few paces.
I heard what you said about time dancing like the wind,
he said as he shook the thoughts from his mind.
But I've only been with Mara for a short time. It cannot be daylight already.
May stopped.
You were with the Mara? Seth, are you sure?
Ardith moved past Seth. She continued with her head down to the path which led out of the clearing.
The Mara were not who you came here to meet, child.
May's concerned eyes looked deep into Seth's as she reached up to take his face in her hands.
What do you remember, Seth? What did they put into your mind?
May kept hold of his face a little too long for his comfort. Seth pulled his head back to release her hold.
What do you mean?
Seth stared at her blankly for a second while he thought.
They didn't put anything in my mind. They tried to intimidate me. Their attempt failed, nothing else.
Seth explained. May turned, shaking her head with a confused look on her face.
So what was the purpose of this lesson, May? You said I had something important to learn today which could not wait.
Seth asked. May looked at Seth and burst into laughter. She laughed so hard she had to stop walking. Seth reached out towards her as he had fears of her falling off the path into the trees as she laughed so hard. After a moment of hysterics, May calmed herself and took a deep breath.
Oh, my little Seth, the lesson is clear. Its purpose has been fully realised and perfected.
May gave another little chuckle to herself.
You see, Seth, the purpose of the lesson was to learn to reach the spirit realm. Talking with ones of the power of the Mara was next week's lesson.
She clearly found this far too amusing to contain as she again burst into laughter. Seth felt himself catching the giggles from May. He struggled to hold them in. After all, this was serious, as he didn't know what he had learned or if he had learned anything at all. However, the relief of coming out of this battle allowed him to snigger to himself, although he wasn't sure why.
Was the lesson not for me, May? Was this something for Ardeth to discover? Something to do with protection?
Seth knew the answer before May had begun to speak, but he was hopeful he may not have missed something, and Ardeth was the one being taught. May composed herself and straightened her hair and robes before setting off back along the path towards the village.
The lesson was for you to realise there are two crucial things in this world which you were unaware of. Now you are clear in your mind about their existence.
May's stern teaching voice had returned. Seth automatically focused carefully on each word, knowing there was both truth and knowledge in them.
Are you talking about the Mara?
May turned slightly and looked out of the corner of her eye at Seth.
The Mara are part of one of the things your mind is clear on now.
Seth thought intently for the next few minutes whilst they moved out of the woods and made their way back to Seth's house. The journey was much quicker than the previous day when they were heading to the clearing. Suddenly, a thought appeared in his mind and he blurted it out towards May.
Time can be controlled and there are creatures who live in the energy around us.
Seth's mouth dropped open with a sudden realization of what he had experienced. As they stopped outside his house, May turned to face him. She stared intently into Seth's eyes and he felt she was searching his soul, making sure each part of him was still here, staring back at her.
Time cannot be controlled, Seth. This is a false lesson. Time can be manipulated and will bend your desire just like the wind, but you must show it reverence and accept that sooner or later it will stop listening to your wants and requests. It will continue flowing like the great river sweeping you away with it. For a moment you stood to the side of time and it continued on its way without you. So when you stepped back into the river, the night had gone.
May gave him one last smile before she headed down the hill into the village.